Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
I had a couple clients that weren't the right fit and, you know, or fail, like in society's eyes, failures of deliverables or where things didn't work out right. And it's like, as an entrepreneur, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And when those things happen, looking at them as learning opportunities and growing opportunities, instead of, well, I failed, this doesn't work, I'm gonna go back and get a job. You know, a really good friend of mine says you have to pick your sandwich, and it is on either side, whether you're at a corporate job or you're working for yourself, and you have to go back to what is it that truly lights me up and where do I want to be in 5, 10 years?
Today, you're meeting Tiffany, an operations consultant and the founder of Fierce Decorum Business Management Agency. With over 2 decades of experience as a trusted leopard-loving sidekick behind the scenes, Tiffany has dedicated herself to helping high-level creative entrepreneurs succeed. In this episode, Tiffany reveals the defining moments that led her into the world of business operations, sharing insights into her unique approach. As a mom of 4, Tiffany not only excels in implementing solid business blueprints, but also empowers CEOs to work smarter, allowing them to focus on their zone of genius and create the life they desire. Join us as Tiffany dives into the details of vision mapping, goal setting, and small business systems, offering valuable advice for budding entrepreneurs seeking success in the world of operations and business management. And thank you so much for being here today, Tiffany. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to share what inspired you to venture into the world of business operations and management.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. It's funny, I've been in business operations since I was 13 because single mom, I went to work with my mom one summer at a real estate agency. I was sending invoices or like I made their logo. I did a bunch of weird stuff. And the owner was like, she's helpful. Bring her back. So by the time I got to high school, I was overqualified to work at the Gap. And they were like, we'd have to hire you as a manager. So I was like, okay, I guess this is really decided, had a very short corporate career. And it wasn't even a traditional corporate job. It was a family-owned business. There were only 100 employees. But once I started having kids, I was like, I can't afford to work. So they actually allowed me to work from home, which was unheard of 16 years ago. People didn't work from home. But so I, like a trailblazer of the work at home mom before all the things that happened. And I worked from home for a stint. Then I got into direct sales and network marketing and was realizing I was making more money at direct sales than I was at my regular job. And so pivoted to like owning my own business, doing my own thing. And then about 5 years in, our company filed bankruptcy and I lost my business overnight. And I was like, I, number one, want to work for an hour and get paid for an hour. And number two, I want something that is mine that nobody can take away. And that's when I started my own thing. And I started as a virtual assistant. So like, if people tell you like, well, you need to know exactly who you are and exactly what you're selling and exactly what your deliverables are day one, that is false. You don't. I started as a virtual assistant charging $15 an hour. Like it was like an easy thing. And what happened was I naturally realized that my skill set was going into these smaller businesses and figuring out what systems and processes they need so that they didn't need a virtual assistant because I worked myself out of 3 jobs because they didn't need me. They needed good systems and processes to automate some things. And so after working myself out of a couple jobs, I was like, okay, I think I know what I'm really good at. Now I just need to refine and build this thing because this is where my skill set is. So it's been a very organic journey over the last 5 years. And what's great about that is it feels really good to kind of be on that path and not feel so pressured to like, I have to charge this and I have to create this package and whatever. It's just, I've just tweaked what we do to really serve our clients well.
I love this. And you know, it's so crazy that you started at 13, just kind of getting thrown in it, understanding the world of like logos and invoices and doing all of those things and then being overqualified for the Gap, you know, but I think it's just a testament to, it doesn't matter what age you are or what your background is or being a stay-at-home mom and being able to work from home and being able to make everything work in your favor. But I love that you said too about the VA and just understanding that was your first step. And when you said $15, what popped in my head when I had my doctorate and I was practicing therapy, I was making $15 an hour with all these degrees. And it's crazy. It doesn't matter what your background is, but I love that you worked yourself out of three jobs, if I'm correct. And that's crazy. And it goes back to systems. And just even with 20 years plus of working behind the scenes of businesses, especially when it comes to just all the things that you were doing, were there any particular moments where it defined your approach to going for like working with the high level creative entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I think I had a couple clients that weren't the right fit and, you know, or fail, like in society's eyes, failures of deliverables. Or where things didn't work out right. And it's like, as an entrepreneur, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And when those things happen, looking at them as learning opportunities and growing opportunities, instead of, well, I failed, this doesn't work, I'm going to go back and get a job. You know, a really good friend of mine says you have to pick your sandwich, and it is on either side, whether you're at a corporate job or you're working for yourself, and you have to go back to what is it that truly lights me up, and where do I want to be in 5, 10 years, 40 years, 50 years? Like, I'm 41. I'm not even at midlife yet. So if I want to live until I'm 100, I have a long runway. I've got 4 kids that I got to send through college and get married and maybe have lots of grandkids. What do I want my life to look like when I'm 60, 70 years old? I want flexibility. I want freedom. I want the ability to make as much money or as little money as I possibly want. I want to travel. So that means I need to put time in now building something that is mine so that I will have that flexibility then. You know, and it's like, my husband and I joke because he owns a business too, and we are joyfully unemployable at this moment in time. Like, neither one of us would never work for somebody else. Because it's just, the trade-offs are just so different. You know, if I have a sick kid, I don't have to worry about calling in and, well, I don't have enough time off and all of that stuff. So, but yet you also are in charge of everything, you know? Yeah. So like, there's pros and cons on both sides. Like, there's days where I'm like, gosh, I wish I had someone else that had to deal with this, but I'm the owner. I got to deal with it, you know? But I think those moments of when stuff went wrong and I still got up and did the work, I'm like, okay, this is the path I'm supposed to be on. You know, it was just confirmation for me. And there are many times where I sit on my bathroom floor crying, like, is this the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? I don't even know. And luckily my husband's an entrepreneur and he's like, Tiff, he brings me back to earth and like, you are on the right path. This is what we wanted to do. Like, this is our family is a family of entrepreneurs. You know that it's going to be okay. We'll figure it out. And so I have to get on his schedule to do some strategic planning for me, my business, which that can be another barrier for entrepreneurs though, making sure that your family and your partner and your spouse are on board with what you're doing and your schedule. Like, there's been times I've had to have conversations with my kids of like, hey, tonight mom has to work, you know, like I have to work tonight because I'm behind on a couple things. Like, I just need you to understand, like, I'm not trying to ignore you. I just got to get some things done. But that means all weekend you have you have my undivided attention. I don't have to work on a Saturday. So like, there are certain days of the week I'll try to work at night, you know, because I only have so many hours during the day I got to work because I got to pick up and drop off kids and, you know, wrestling and dance and theater and all the things, horseback riding. I mean, my kids are very busy. So.
And it's a good thing that you have such a supportive spouse too. Like, my husband is an entrepreneur as well, and we own a business together as well as other businesses. But I think that's the biggest focal point. When we don't have that support, it can be really overwhelming and feeling like we want to throw in the towel, but knowing that you're going to have hard days. I've been crying in the bathroom before, like multiple times, especially in the beginning process. I mean, it's been like maybe a few months since I've been there, but you know, it comes in waves. But I think that's a testament to the work. When we are really passionate about something, there's a purpose behind it. There are going to be ups and downs. We are going to have to set those boundaries with our family and know, okay, right now this time is for me to get this done so we can have that undivided attention. And it could be with friends as well. It doesn't have to be just our children or our spouses, anything along those lines. But I think part of that is recognizing when we are putting in the work, we are passionate about it, things will start to move forward. It takes time though. It's never linear. And that's the journey of entrepreneurship. I don't think it's ever been linear for anybody.
No, absolutely. And I will say this, find other entrepreneurial friends to have in your circle as soon as you possibly can. Because there are times where, you know, I have some friends, I have lots of friends now that own their own businesses, and they're the people I go to ask questions, to ask, you know, hey, I'm thinking about charging this. Like, does that seem too high? You know, it's like having those people. And that's honestly why I started building a team too. Like, this is more fun with other people. Like, why should I live on an island and do this all by myself? Like, this is more fun when I have people who see the vision and want to do this with me. You know, and it's like that makes it, especially if you're an outgoing verbal processor like I am, my team jokes, I can send 15-minute Voxers about just like, I'm like, listen to this on 4x speed. I just need a verbally like brain dump.
It's that support piece, right? And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm really intrigued by the concept of leopard loving sidekick that you have. And I was just so intrigued by it because I've never heard anything like that. But how did you develop your unique approach to supporting entrepreneurs? And how does that reflect in your business?
Well, I don't know where the leopard love came in exactly. I did find an old school picture of my sophomore formal and I had a leopard scarf on. So I know it was at least from the time I was a sophomore in high school on, but like, leopard print has, I mean, the amount of leopards I have in my office is a little ridiculous, but it's just been a part of me for a really long time. And when I did my new branding, I actually sent it to a couple former clients and the initial brand did not have any leopards on it. And my clients were like, where are the leopards? Like, you have to have, so like we had to bring them back because it was just such an integral part of like who I am. People send me stuff. Like, it's just, I don't know why, I don't know where it came from, but I will own it. Most times I have something leopard on. And for me, it's really about, I don't have one methodology of how I help my clients. It's really, I work a lot with creatives who are big picture visionaries, who have a lot of ideas and they just need help staying organized and getting things actually done. Yeah. And they all look at things differently. And so our method is really meeting with the owner, meeting with the team and figuring out how best can we serve you? What systems are going to work for your brain? What processes do you need to scale the way that you want to scale? Because there are many clients who they just want a lifestyle business. They're an interior designer. They want to make good money so they can, you know, put their kids in activities and, but they don't want to have a $5 million business. Like that's not their dream. Their dream is to have a $500,000 business that runs really well. They make good money. They have an awesome team and they love their life. Right. Yeah. And so that scale is going to look different than someone's like, hey, I want a $5 million business. Okay, great. Either one is good. It's not like one is good and one is bad. It's just figuring out what does scaling look like for you and then having the systems, the tools, and the team to then accomplish that and accomplish it in a way that feels really good as the owner so that you're not working 90 hours a week. And I think that's something that we really strive to do with our clients is figure out what their long-term goals are and then create systems and processes and even help them hire a team and bring in support that match where they want to be.
And that's a big part of it and understanding it. Like I know you talk about a solid blueprint, implementing that for each of your clients and just kind of what we were talking about right now and understanding every person's going to be different. Somebody might want that $5 million business versus 500,000. It's really based off of where they're at and how do you figure out what systems are best? What are some of the systems you use in that regard?
Well, it's kind of a hodgepodge. It depends on the industry. You know, like we've had real estate agents where there's a lot of industry specific CRMs, mm-hmm. like client relationship management tools and project management tools that help that specific industry. Also mm-hmm. with interior design, there's systems and programs that are just for interior designers. My favorite tools that are just kind of like good for across the board would be Dubsado or Honeybook as CRM. They're fairly inexpensive. I'd say I prefer Dubsado just from the being able to customize it a little bit more, especially if like you're a designer or someone that's very, that brand and design is very important to you. You just have more customizations and it works. Is it the perfect system out there? No, but it's reasonably priced. It works for what that onboarding piece. You have a scheduler, you have all those things. And then from a project management standpoint, there's ClickUp Monday and Asana. ClickUp's my favorite, especially if you want to scale to the point where you're starting to bring team members in. It's just got more functionality. It's fairly reasonably priced. And a lot of my clients use both of those. And then maybe they have, you know, I have a recruiting company, so they have a CRM that's just for recruiters. And, you know, so there might be like a third platform that's more specific to the industry. And then the other two are just kind of supplemental. What's hard is there's not really many all-in-one solutions for under $1 million businesses. It's kind of hard to find. And so you usually have to hodgepodge. But at the end of the day, a system is only good as you'll use it. So I recommend clients get free, you know, do the trials of all these platforms, figure out which one works for you. Like I had a client who I really wanted her to get ClickUp. She was like, I just don't understand it. My brain doesn't work that way. I'm like, fine. She found Monday and she loves Monday. Now Monday's getting expensive. And she's like, maybe we should switch to ClickUp. So, you know, it just kind of depends, but you have to try things because you need something that's going to work for your brain and help you actually accomplish the things you want to accomplish. Because if you're just going to use it as a basic task list and not use any of the functionality, well, then that's not going to help you, right? So right. Those are my two kind of favorite go-tos for just the basic systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just now getting clip because I'm bringing on team members and things like that. But it's so funny you say that because I was one of those people that was resistant to them. I'm like, this is overwhelming. I don't know how to use it, but it's, you make it work for you. Even like Go High Level is one that we use for solar. So it's a little bit different, but just like every system is different. But I'm curious because I know you've worked with so many different entrepreneurs, especially creative entrepreneurs, but what is a recent or even in the past client success story that you could share with us today?
Well, I actually have a client that just hit $500,000 in revenue. And when we started, we were about 100,000, maybe a little bit, maybe 150 in revenue. And that was 4 years ago. So we have been working on systems and processes. When her and I started, I actually started as her VA or as her ops person, but it was like a VA on steroids a little bit when I started with her. And we have grown together and we've built her team together. So she's taken two maternity leaves in that time. She's had two babies in that time. And we kept the doors open throughout. Like I did the first time because it was just her and I. And the second time I managed the whole team while she was gone. And from like a fractional ops person, a lot of small business owners don't realize that that's even a thing. Like you can have someone that's a fractional operations project manager, director, whatever, that's going to help you move the needle forward in your business that is going to be cheaper and less time consuming than like a full, you don't need a full-time employee. And I've even had the conversation with her, like, you're never going to need a full-time ops person. I don't do any of the design work. She does branding and web design. I'm like, I don't touch any of that. I just make sure everybody who is doing the design work stays on track, you know? It's just like making sure everything keeps moving, the clients are happy, you know, all of that. And a lot of people don't even realize that that's a thing that exists. That's a service or a support role that exists out there. And it's a testament to, as a creative, she jokes that she gets to just get up and color all day because she has me and the team to execute on the things that she doesn't like to do. And she's one of those people that early on realized, I'm not good at this. I'm going to pay someone to do this. My time is worth money, is worth more money than this person's hourly rate. And we've built a team of experts, and it's expensive. That team is a very expensive team, but she can fully leave and have trust and faith that they're going to execute. So it's like, you have to be okay giving up either the money and understanding that your time is valuable. And I think a lot of times we think we just have to bootstrap stuff. Right. But if it's a soul suck, if it's a time suck, if it's something that you hate to do, why are you owning that? You probably aren't doing it well. So bring someone in, bring an expert in to help, whether that's writing blogs or doing social media or even the design work. Because when we first started working together, we realized the one piece she really didn't like to do was the web design portion. She loved the branding, didn't like the web. So what we did was we brought in a web designer and a web developer as like the first team members. That was before anybody else. Because she needed to get that off of her plate to be successful in all the other areas and to focus on business development and the marketing and all of that stuff. So usually I start clients with like a quadrant exercise where they just brain dump the things they're good at that they love, the things they're good at and they hate, the things they hate that they're not good at, but they love to do, like social media graphics. Like I could do them all day, but they're a time suck because I'm not super efficient. And then the things they hate to do and they suck at. It's like, those are the things you need to get off your plate as soon as possible. Like as soon as you can hire someone, even if it's 5 to 10 hours a month, get that stuff off your plate. And I think by really focusing on where your strengths are, it just makes business easier and more fun. Because you're not doing the soul-sucking tasks that you hate.
Gosh, so spot on. There's so many things like running through my head when you were saying that. But it's like that zone of genius, focusing on where you are really good at and shine in that, and everything else, like work smarter, know when to delegate, when to take it off your plate. I'm speaking directly to myself because this was very recent where I'm like, okay, I'm finally ready to hire someone. It's been 6 years. I think it's time. But understanding how that all functions, because when we are able to delegate that, people can do it better than us and be able to make more money to pay for those individuals that are working for you, because you're focused on the things that are going to generate income that you're really good at, versus all the heavy weight that you're just like, I don't want to do this, or dreading it. Because there's a lot of people like, I don't want to do that. But it's also about creating that desired life. Just like we were talking about your client that was able to take 2 maternity leaves through that because she had everything set up thanks to you and the team, and being able to trust somebody. And I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs have that hard time of, okay, can I trust somebody with my baby, basically, is their business. And they're like, well, I can do it really good. Can somebody do it better than me? But when do you think is that sweet spot of, okay, I'm not ready to hire someone. I know we were talking about that earlier where it's like, okay, well, what do you do if you're not ready financially to hire someone, but you need somebody?
Well, number one, start saving for that first hire before you're ready for the first hire. So even if you put $50 a month aside in a savings account, when you do actually bring on that first person, it's going to be less of a hit. Because if you've been saving $50 a month for the last 6 months, you have the first few months just saved in a reserve. So it makes it that first hire a little bit easier to like stomach. I would say most entrepreneurs are ready to bring on support before they think they're ready to bring on support, right? But you have to understand what the right support looks like. If you are a business owner that has your entire business in your head, you can't just hire a task person because they're waiting for you to delegate to them. And if you're just thinking, well, they're just going to read my mind and know what to do, it's not going to end well, because they're a task person. They're waiting for you to tell them. And that's one of the reasons I have a job, is because we are more proactive in like pulling the things out of our clients' heads that need to be activated on, and getting them, you know, and saying, hey, you need these systems because you're working in 90 hours a week. Like, this is not sustainable. How do we get you out of this? Right. And we're more focused on creating those efficiencies and processes to get them out of the weeds of the day-to-day and figuring out where those people need to be. But if you're someone who is super organized and you have all your systems in place, then looking at that quadrant of things that I don't want to do these, well, what does that look like? Is that a social media manager? Is it a virtual assistant? Is it an ops or a project manager? Is it another designer? You know, because I think the other thing we forget is that scale doesn't just have to look like I'm going to pay someone to do the back office stuff. Scale can look like I'm going to bring on another designer that's going to make money because they're doing client work. So being an interior designer, maybe you bring on a junior designer or a college student as an intern to do some of the documentation or the, you know, the drawings, the 3D drawings and all that stuff, because those are time consuming. And if you can pay someone $25 an hour to do that, well, that's a win, because how much time are you saving that you can go be doing business development or marketing or being on sales calls, you know? So it's like really looking at your time. You know, we can replace, you know, there's 2 assets. We have time and money. We can replace money. We can't replace time. So it's like, you have to think strategically, and you have to think, what is going to 10X my growth in this season? Is that me being stuck doing all of my transactions for my bookkeeping or making these 3D models that take 18 hours? No, probably not. So how can I replace that with a person or an app or a program that's going to save my time? And yes, it's an investment, but if the ROI in that is great, like, why would I not put the time into that, especially if I want to grow and scale?
Exactly. And it's the entrepreneurial mindset versus employee mindset, being able to recognize that difference, because I struggled with that when I first left the therapy world into entrepreneurship. And I was just like, oh, wait, okay, my time and money, and understanding where my time was going and where it was best used. But you're absolutely right. If somebody is spending like 18 hours making a model, when that could be outsourced or have a junior designer or somebody else doing that, there's more time to build those relationships, find clients that are going to bring in money at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, it's also everybody is serving a purpose and doing something they love. And when we are doing what we love, I think that really does shine through, and understanding, hey, this is like where I am, the zone of genius, I can do this. Somebody else's zone of genius is systems or marketing or whatever it is that is in that bottom quadrant. You're like, I don't like it. I hate it. I'm going to outsource that. But I think I love the idea though of saving and having like a little nest egg of that for your first employee or person that you're going to bring on, in order to just take some of that weight off of like, oh crap, how am I gonna buy, like pay someone right now because I don't even have the money.
Yeah, and I think people think their first team member has to be a full-time employee.
Right.
Like, your first team member does not need to be a full-time employee. It can be a freelancer, it can be a subcontractor. Most VAs will work 10 to 20 hours a month. So that's 5 hours a week that, I mean, a lot of the VAs on my team work about that per client. You know, they might have multiple clients, but there are clients who only need, you know, because they're a coach and a speaker. They don't have a lot of admin work. They just need things here and there. They need some reports or some social or whatever. It's very easy. And so, like, if you can find people like that who will do, you know, they might have all their clients. So you might have to fight for, you know, like you might have to not be able to have full access to them 24 hours a day. But most of us aren't brain surgeons and we don't need full, like, drop everything and do this right now. It's like, hey, just get it done this week. That's fine. So I think redirecting that type of person, because you can find someone. And I always ask, like, when I'm interviewing for virtual assistants, finding out what background they have they started their own businesses before, do they have some entrepreneurial, like, the bug, and if so, they're going to be more proactive and think more like an entrepreneur and probably be a little bit more supportive in you as an entrepreneur, and making sure the personality matches. Because usually, like, when I bring on a new team member, we do a 30-day contract because I want to make sure it's a good fit for them, a good fit for me, they're a good fit for the team. And so, like, having, like, hey, there's an out. If this isn't right, like, this is a very intimate relationship because we have to talk to each other almost every day or like a couple times a week. We need to get along. And if that's not gonna, like, let's test it out. If it doesn't work, it's fine. It's okay. Like, I'll go find someone else, you know? So I think also, like, being really clear on what you want, the type of personality you want, you know, what they're gonna be doing, the expectations of what you want. That's usually why a team member fails, is because the expectations weren't clear. It wasn't the right personality fit, and that's when it can go bad, and that's not fun.
Yes,
It's never fun to fire somebody, so try not to
it
have to do that. Do
is.
your work before you hire so that you
No.
don't have to fire, because it doesn't feel
Hi,
good.
friends. Today's video is so special because it's brought to you by our incredible sponsor, LoveSorrow, where your stories meet craftsmanship in the most beautiful way for both men and women. I've recently discovered their custom fine jewelry design. Trust me, it's a game changer. Check out these amazing pieces being delicately crafted. Each one tells a unique tale. And the best part, you can be a part of the design process. With over 50 chain styles crafted from solid metals, you get that timeless piece that is permanent and seamless without a clasp. Your piece, your style, your story. LoveSorrow, our sponsor, is offering you a chance to enter a world of understated enchantment. Head over to LoveSorrow's store locations in Los Angeles, California, and Boulder and Cherry Creek, Colorado, to begin your journey. Let's do this together with LoveSorrow. Now back to the show. Exactly. It's just building that foundation. I love that you have a 30-day contract as well. The part of that is understanding if this person's going to be a good fit, because you can't always tell, like, through interview. I have, like, a recruiting business on the side, and, like, sometimes you'll do multiple interviews. I like my psychology stuff. I'm, like, reading between the lines of things that aren't being said. But all of those factors, really, you don't know if somebody's gonna live up to what they're saying or doing. But being proactive of asking the right questions and giving them at least 30 days and see how that pans out. And if it's not, then you can dissolve the contract after that and you're good and you can move on. But I think it's just really understanding who you're bringing on to the team and knowing those things that you just mentioned, all of those things. Rewind this, watch it again, write it down, because I think that it's imperative when you are hiring, because you want to make sure it's the right fit for everybody. Because if it is, things are going to blossom. If it's not, you're going to have to be pulling weeds out. So I think it's just understanding where everything goes. But part of time, I know we were talking about time. I know you're a mom of four and a wife and a business owner and so many other things. But how do you integrate motherhood, entrepreneurship, and just your life, everything together?
Well, I work from home, so I have an office in my house, so that helps because I can, like, do laundry in between and, like, kind of stay up to date, you know, so I'm not totally drowned. I think the biggest part is, as a woman in today's society and as an entrepreneur, we have a hard time asking for help. I just think that is, like, the true epidemic is women not asking for help, thinking they have to do it all and thinking, like, they can't ask for help. And I wanted to mention this earlier. There's a great book, I think it's by Dan Sullivan, called Who Not How. And it's about finding the who's in your life, both in your business, in your personal life, that are going to take on those things that are going to help you succeed, help you grow. And I think, like, my mom has lived with us for 7 years, and she helps with the laundry on the weekends. She helps like pick up kids when needed. She does the dishes at night. If there's, she helps with the dog, takes the dog out. He loves her, but he's her, she's his favorite. You know, it's just like things like that. I could have been like, no, mom, I don't need you, you know, but why would I do that? Like, she's been such a help. And I don't think I could have grown my business the way I have in the last, you know, 5 years had she not been with us. And, you know, asking my mother-in-law to come up, I hired an after-school nanny that picks the kids up from school because I was having to shut down work at 2 o'clock so I could go get the kids, get them home, get them fed, homework. And then I'm like, by the time I sat back down, it was 9:30 at night. I'm like, I am not, I can't do work right now. It's like too much. So just by hiring that, I now have a full day. I can work till 4, 4:30. And that made it, just 2 hours a day made a huge difference in the impact of my work week and what service I can provide to my client and how available I can be to our clients and to the team. So it's like looking at the things in my life and saying, okay, what would be helpful right now, whether that's business, whether that's personal, and just asking for help, you know, having the kids do extra chores. Like, hey, you guys are in charge of the bathrooms. I'm not going to clean the bathrooms. Like, you're old enough. You know, here's your chore chart. I'll pay you. I would pay a house cleaner, but why pay a house cleaner when I can pay my own kids? You know, and so there's a lot of things like that. And also bringing my kids in to the business, because did you know you can pay your kids and then it's tax free? Yep. So like paying my kids to clean my office and vacuum, like even the 7-year-old, hey, take out the trash in my office and vacuum the floor. He's like, okay, he loves a vacuum, you know? So, or cleaning the bathroom that I have to use, that's technically part of my office because I don't have any other bathroom. Like, he can clean the toilets. He loves doing that too. So it's like bringing the kids into what I'm doing. Most of what I do, I can't have the kids do, but like my 16-year-old is, she's getting better at like Canva and making graphics. So I might have her do some like video editing and things like that for me later, but she has a busier social life than I do. So I don't know if that's, she now can drive. And that was like, that was as of a month ago. And so huge change in our house to now have a third driver or a fourth driver because my mom is here. But I think getting your kids involved too, then when you have to have those conversations of like, hey, mom has to go to an event tonight, so I'm going to miss this, or mom has to work tonight. They're more open and accepting instead of like, oh, mom, like they know what I'm trying to do. They know my clients because all that are local, they've met them in person, you know? So it's like a different, it's not just mom's going to work. It's like, this is part of our life. And I think that's what's important, especially when you're trying to do this, that you need all the support you can get. If you can get that from your kids too, that can make a huge impact.
And I love that you bring the kids into the business. And I've been hearing this more and more from other entrepreneurs that are bringing their kids in, understanding the business, but it like also asks that aspect of understanding where your time is going, your energy is going. They get it because they see you doing it. They're starting to understand the business a little bit, whether it's creating graphics in Canva or cleaning the office or in any capacity. But I think that's a huge element of giving that work ethic and the understanding. Like my husband and I, definitely when we do have children, that's one thing I was like, yeah, they're going to be involved in the business. I want them to understand what we're doing because it is a family business in that regard. And to know that, okay, well, this is what you can do. There's other options because growing up is go to school, get a good job, you'll be set for life. And I think the world has changed a lot in the last few years, especially since COVID. I think more people were discovering their passions. I don't know if you experienced that with more of your creative entrepreneurs coming in. But seeing that there's not one way, you can make it what you want. And I mean, you started at a very young age as well. So I feel like it's just generational at this point.
Yeah, I went to school to be a special ed teacher and never finished, dropped out because I met my husband and moved halfway across the country. And it's just, we are big advocates too, like with our own kids. We're like, if you want to go to college, if you're going to do something like my 10-year-old wants to be a vet, well, you have to go to school for that, you know, that's fine. But my oldest, she's like, mom, I don't think I want to go to college. I'm like, that's totally fine. You know, you have the entrepreneurial bug. So does my 13-year-old. He makes like $25 an hour coaching younger kids in wrestling. And I'm like, dude, he was like, mom, I just made $100 this weekend. I was like, good for you. This is awesome. You know, I'm like, and he's like the type of kid that he could go down that path too. And I'm like, that's great because you could go into your adult life without hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt and actually make a bigger impact as a business owner. So I'm like, we're here for it. You know, we'll support you either way, but I think it is like a change and it's a good change. You know, I feel like I went to a state school, so I didn't have a lot of debt. My husband went to the Marine Corps, so he didn't have any debt, but it would have been a harder life when we first got married had we both had college debt. So yeah, it's crazy, but good stuff.
I get it. I'm like slowly paying out my debt. Work in progress. But part of this is just like really looking at the vision of your life, understanding each step. It doesn't have to look a certain way. You can make it what you want and really visualize that and the goal setting. So even your son being able to coach, make money, your daughter, same thing, both of you being those models for all of your children, all four of them. But part of that vision mapping and goal setting are really key aspects of just being really strategic in planning a business, having the blueprint of what you want to create. How do you guide entrepreneurs in this process?
It is a little bit of getting them out of the mind of I should. Mm. I should do this. I should have $1 million business. I should. Well, who told you that? Like, why do you feel that? Is it truly like a desire to hit that $1 million mark? Or is it just someone told you your business could do that? And so like you feel like you should. You know, it's like we have to stop putting other people's thoughts and ideas and goals on ourselves and comparing. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. Don't compare your business. Set out what you want. What do you, and I always say, don't just think 5, 10 years from now. Think when you're 100. What is the legacy that you want to leave? Why do I go to the gym? It's not because I want a peach booty and six pack abs. I mean, that would be great, but I'm about to hit menopause. That's not going to happen. Like, you know, my body just doesn't work that way anymore. But I want to be 100 years old sitting on the floor with my great grandkids. That's the vision that keeps me motivated to get up, to eat right, to work out, to push my body, to lift heavy weights, right? Not because I want to look hot today or tomorrow. It's because I have this vision of having a really long life. Mm-hmm. My grandmother would have been 100 this year. She passed away in October. But I'm like, she always took care of herself. She had great skin because she had like, it was like a pharmacy at her house, you know, and it's just, those are the things I think about is if I want, what do I want the legacy to be when I'm 80, 90, 100 years old, when I leave this earth, what are the things that I want to be remembered for? Like, I want to be remembered that I helped businesses grow. I helped creatives find a way to make an impact in what they were doing and really love the businesses that they had created. You know, I want maybe a business that I sell and leave the money to my kids, or that one of the kids takes over the business. I don't know. Like, there's so many things that could happen, but it's like, I want to have the mental capacity and the physical capacity to handle whatever comes. So that means always focusing on my learning, on my growing, testing my body, you know, and I think when we have those bigger visions, it's a lot easier to get to do the day-to-day, the grind, you know, the hard stuff, because we have this bigger vision in mind. So I always challenge people, like, they're like, well, in 2 years, I want this. Okay, that's great. But what do you want in 40 years? You know, how long do you want to live? Because there's another, I can't remember who, I think it was the 10X is easier than 2X book, but the writer was on a podcast and they talked about, he says that he wants to live until like 127 or 130 or so. I don't know. Because your brain will shoot towards whatever you tell it, right? Mm-hmm. So if you say, like my whole family only lived till they were 50 or 60. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I'm already a middle-aged at 30. Well, your brain is subconsciously like internalizing those things. Like, I'm not super woo-woo, but I am to the point where like there is impact in the things we think and the things we say. And so the more we can put into practice having a positive mindset and goal setting and working towards those bigger things, the farther we're going to get. And I think it's like 40% of the time, if you just write down your goals, or if you write down your goals, you're 40% more likely to achieve them. So just writing the stuff down, even if you don't believe it, like, just get it on paper for now, you know, and that's one step you can take to get closer to your goals.
Exactly. Step one, write it down. And when you were talking about like being older, being a great grandmother, it's funny because my husband and I, we always joke, I'm like he's going to live to 150. I'll be 148. He's like, I don't want to live without him. Got it. So I was like, I'll love you to 140, 150. But it's that aspect of really shooting for the stars and knowing, even if you don't believe it right away, it's just like taking those small steps to it. Because when you do have a goal, you're more likely to achieve it. Even if it's like enormous, knowing that you can still reach it, even if it's just maybe halfway, it's still more than it was like on the ground, and knowing that there is that room for growth and being able to. And a lot of times people, when it comes to goal setting, there's challenges around that. And just in general, challenges of being an entrepreneur. What are some of the obstacles you've had to overcome in your journey of entrepreneurship?
Oh my gosh. I feel like there's an obstacle every week. You know, it's just,
yeah.
And I would say the biggest tip that I could give someone is try to create habits out of your days and your weeks instead of like trying to hit these goals. Cause like, don't make your brain work over, you know, don't make your brain make it harder for your brain to work. Try to Make it as simple as possible. So if you get up every day at 5:30, you work out, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, you get up, you get to the office. If you do that every single day, your brain is just like, this is what I do, right? Because you've created a habit around that. And a lot of us are in the habit of picking up our phones, you know, checking Instagram. It's like, turn off your phone, have some things so that you can be your most efficient self. And I think that's where I get stuck, is saying yes to things that aren't the best opportunities because there's fear of revenue. There's fear of missing out. There's fear of like, will I want to be known in my industry? So like, if I don't show up, then how do people know that I exist? You know? And it's like, well, that is the root cause of that coming from, I want to help and serve people, or I'm afraid that if I don't show up, something bad is going to happen. You know, it's like really analyzing every yes and being super diligent to say no to the things that do not align with you, where you want to go with your business. And I think that's been my biggest struggle, is saying yes to the wrong things. Yes to the wrong clients. Yes to the wrong opportunities. Yes to the wrong coaching programs that I was like, oh, this is the magic sauce. I'm going to pay lots of money to hire this coach. And then was it worth it? I don't really know. You know what I mean? It's like some of those things that you think you should be doing when maybe they're not the best. So it's like, just check your gut. Most of us have a really good gut on these things. And if you're not feeling 100%, be okay saying no. Like, that's okay. You know?
No is a complete sentence.
Absolutely.
I feel like we don't say it enough, and recognizing, it's interesting when you were saying that part of when we do say yes to things and there's like that gut feeling of like, the shoulds come out of like, well, I should be doing this or I shouldn't be doing this. And when it's like, there's a saying, I forgot who has originally said it, but it's like, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. And absolutely, part of that is understanding like the gut and knowing, okay, if you are saying yes to this, you're saying no to something else. So what are you willing to sacrifice, or what are you focused on investing? And I've been changing that word a lot of like, instead of a sacrifice, it's more of an investment into what I'm growing and developing, whatever it may be. And part of just our journeys of entrepreneurs, I'm really curious when it comes to operations and business management strategies, everything that you do for entrepreneurs listening, what would be like your number one tip for them in order to incorporate that into their business? I know you've given a lot of insight already.
I think what people don't do soon enough is really map out their client experience journey. And that is something that from a system, not all systems like affect the bottom line, you know, like organizing your inbox and creating labels in Google Drive. Like, those are important because they keep you organized and more efficient, but they're not going to help the bottom line. Your client experience does. It directly impacts your clients coming back, your clients talking about you, raving about you, leaving testimonials, all of that stuff. And so one of the things that we do as a service is really map out from initial inquiry, every single step that happens through client offboarding. Because that piece of it, if you can give every client the same experience, and it doesn't have to be high touch. It can be a lot automated. Like, there's a lot of things you can do with automations, with automated canned emails and things like that. But really making sure they understand your process, they are communicated with when they need to be, they're not in the dark, you know, all of those things, especially if you're a service provider where there's deliverables and you need feedback. And if you're a marketing agency, like, you need to send them social posts and they need to leave their comments or whatever. You know, there's a lot of touch points. So making sure that they know everything that happens and analyzing all those steps to say, what can be templated? What can be automated? Like, one of the things I've done with a lot of my branding and web designers is having in Adobe, you can create a review link. So you don't have to export it and then they leave you notes in a Google Doc. You just send them the link and they can leave notes right on the document. Like, it's super slick. You know, or sending Loom videos is another way to hey, a client has a question, or we're using ClickUp for client experience. But when we onboard them, they've never used ClickUp. They need a little video tutorial on how to use it, how to turn on notifications, like all that stuff. We just send a Loom video. So there's a lot of tools and resources that we can use to automate and streamline and really like offer this really amazing experience to our clients. But most business owners don't take the time to like map it out and analyze it. My favorite tool to do this is actually called Miro. It's like an online whiteboard. And so you can kind of like do your little boxes and then do arrows and like add notes and like kind of map out from a visual perspective of like all those touch points. So that's a really great tool that I like to do that. So that would be my recommendation is really spend some time analyzing your client experience.
That's imperative. It's especially like I've never heard of that before. So now I'm going to try out that tool now. Always adding new things to my list. And I'm really curious because I know you have so much going on right now, but there's a lot coming in the future. What are some of your future goals and aspirations for your business, seeing it grow and thrive and just really helping so many more people?
Yeah. You know, it's a challenge. I feel like I help clients really well with goal setting, but sometimes like my own business goes in the back burner. You know, it's just part of like, do as I say, not as I do sometimes, which is normal for business owners. I think 2024 for us is really, 2023 was really a refining year for us where we were refining our service offerings. I was bringing on new team members, getting everyone up to speed, figuring out like, who are we and really who do we serve, and really honing in that our favorite people are creatives that are ready to scale. And so refining all of our services and offerings and packages to be for those types of clients. And now I'm like, we're ready. We're ready to like market it, to talk about it more. And so like, we're having a marketing meeting to talk about first quarter's content, you know, all of that, and really like now start pushing all of the things that we refined. And so just trying to serve more people is really the goal for 2024, is like, how many people can we serve? I don't know what that's looked like. We've worked with, I think, between 60 and 70 clients from the start. I'd love to see us at 100. You know, that's like my goal. I don't know if we're going to hit another 40 clients in 2024, but hey, we might as well shoot for the stars and see what happens. And then I think really for me too, it's investing in my team. I want my team to feel empowered to, I fully know that not all my team members are going to be with me forever. And I want their experience on our team to be one where they're learning and growing as humans and as people. And if they can then go off and get a better job, or go back to corporate. Like, I've had lots of team members, it's almost like they graduated and they were able to get a better, or go into a different career or whatever. And that's a huge passion of mine, is to invest in my team. And so looking for ways to like get them training and all those types of things, and just make it a really great culture that we're kind of all doing this together, which is, it's more fun that way anyway.
A very inclusive culture, it sounds like to me, just really warm and here to support, grow, and just thrive. And I've been so enjoying this conversation, Tiff. Where can people find you, find your services? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
So our agency is fiercedecorum.com. And then we have Instagram handle for @fiercedecorum. And then I have my personal Instagram, which is @TiffHaft. And I'm also on LinkedIn @TiffanyHaft. So it's pretty easy. I think there's only one Tiffany Haft in the like one other Tiffany Haft in the whole country. So if you Google me, you will find me. It's pretty easy.
Easy enough. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for just sharing all your insights. You are a wealth of knowledge, but I so appreciate it. I'm sure everybody listening does as well, but thank you for sharing your beautiful energy with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. This was a lovely conversation.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from today, and we'll see you on the next episode.